Hello, we're Pink Pineapple Podcasts, and this is We're Making a Game. Maybe? I'm Lou.
I'm Phil.
And I'm Dominic.
Yeah, and we're making a game.
Maybe.
It's kind of weird. Where to start? Maybe we should start by talking about ourselves.
Sounds good. Rock, paper, scissors for first person?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Wait, hang on. Are we doing rock, paper, scissors, or one, two, three, go?
One, two, three, go.
Ah, okay. Cassinia first.
No, no, I won.
Okay, let's go again.
One, two, three, go. One, two, three, go. Okay.
So, I'm Phil. I'm currently at uni, and I want to make games. No, maybe. Not much else for that.
No bamboozle. I want to make games. All right, I'm Lou. I'm also currently at school, but I'm paid to be at school, which is cool.
Did you intend for that rhyme?
No. And I'm relatively new to games, I think, out of the group. I don't think I understood games before. No, scratch that. I liked games. I didn't know I liked games. Dom, who are you?
Hi, I'm Dom. I don't study at the moment. I work at a coffee shop right now. And I loved games for a very long time. I also love telling stories. I love combining the two. And that's why we're having complications.
Exactly. So, a while ago, we decided we're going to make a tabletop role-playing game, which is pretty much what you can imagine from D&D. You sit at a table with a group of friends and you tell each other this amazing story based on a certain amount of rules that you've decided to all adhere to for the conversation.
In fact, I think it's fair to say that it was born in part to an idea and born in part to a dislike in how certain elements of D&D work.
Exactly, yeah.
And it just... We started working on that about 2 years ago now, probably. Two years, does that make sense? That feels right.
That feels right.
And with 2 years of stuff, and also life got in the way, we started working on it. We totally didn't have a podcast before this one.
Yes, not try to.
And then we... Let's start that bit again. From what point should I start that bit?
We were interrupted. Go.
I'll start. I was there at a party having done makeup to look like my D&D character. I was buzzing. I was having a good time. We hadn't started yet. I overhear Phil and Dom discussing what would a void air person look like.
Yes. So, we basically... An idea I had, which then got talking with Phil, was a world where elemental magic is real. Think Avatar, but we're not doing Avatar.
We think.
We're not doing Avatar.
Okay. And so,
but you should be able to. That's the issue. You should be able to with this.
But it's also born out of a love.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea was, originally, how would different elements combine? What would they look like? What would that be? And so, this discussion started off chat about how to make this a game. And Christina was like, this sounds cool, let me join in. And so Christina joined in. And then for about, I'd say 6 months, probably we worked on this fairly solidly. And then life happened.
Like, and then we worked solidly for another 6 months. And then life happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much how it's going. So expect us to stop in about 6 months.
I hope not.
Yeah, no, I think we got some good goals. We can keep this going now.
So we're now at a point where we feel we can start it up again. So we started looking at everything. And that's why we have the maybe.
Yeah, so I guess we're not really sure if this is something we do because it's an excuse to hang out or because we like telling stories and we've enjoyed building this world and Phil likes mechanics.
Yeah. I mean...
Not just good for fixing the car.
I think what happened is that some of us me sat down and looked at the game and decided to scrap everything because that's what indie game developers want to do.
And the rest of us, me and Lou, both actually agreed with this of just like, we don't think the gameplay we've made was working for the game we wanted to create.
And I think this was born out of the, we had a mechanic, or we had the mechanics figured out, and we tried to get everything else, we tried to mold everything else to that, and it was very restricting to try and build a game around that. Whereas we had a lot of ideas that couldn't work because of that, or that we tried to force too much, and so we've hacked and slashed at it.
And now we're going the other way. We're going to start with a story, and then work down to having it be a game. What do we want it to be? In the sense of like, what is the story? Where's the goal that we're going?
So,
okay, so my goal is we have out a PDF of a playable game.
By the end of this year.
By the end of this year. Oh yeah, sorry, wait. Yeah, there's a time frame. By the end of this year, we will have the first draft. Which may be a rough draft.
Probably a rough draft. Yeah. In the nicest way. Because we've scrapped a lot of the actual mechanical gameplay thing and we're trying to come back and figure out, well, what does the game look like? We don't know. The main thing we all felt, the word we thought that we wanted the players to do is explore. We want the players to explore the world. We want the players to explore and have fun and adventures. Less focused on conflict. Less focused on a power fantasy. More of a, here's this world. Here's a big sandbox. Play.
And then you think also of a sort of sense where you can discuss stuff. So you can discuss whether things work or not, and you can discuss interesting ways to overcome problems or to explore better. So yeah, discuss and explore. I just wanted to add discuss to that.
Yeah.
Phil, do you want to add another word?
I can say everything you just said. By the end of this year, you should be able to read this document and have a framework to hold an interesting conversation where you get to make a fantasy and explore a world where everyone has this ability to control one of the traditional elements.
Well, we say everyone. There are some restrictions in certain races because of the way we create. We'll go into more detail of that later.
Rabbit hole, if ever there was.
So that's the kind of aim for the game as such. But to give you a brief intro into the world, as we said, it's a world where elemental magic is real. It's a world where people have the ability at the moment to command one element. For some races, it's inherited. Other races, it's random. But if you're a player, you'll be able to do one of these elements and be able to use them of earth, air, fire, and water.
And void and life.
Yeah, those ones we're not going to correlate into how to play just yet. But those are two other elements that work in it. Life being... oh, why did I try to describe that?
Anyway, the big gist of this is, can we even make a game out of this? Or is it going to be just a beautiful collection of stories exploring a potential world? Do we have moderators? Is it just a thing where everyone tells a collective story? Can you do combat in it? Do we have dice? I like dice. Dom wants cards. We discuss this occasionally.
It's not that I want cards. It's that cards are another possibility. But that's besides the point. We don't know what we're really doing this. And we want to bring people along to kind of see where this goes. Because, well, if it's going to crash and burn, we might as well have some people to watch it.
Yeah. So that's the thing. This podcast is supposed to keep us accountable to us.
Mm-hmm.
And accountable to you,
yep,
the listener, to that we keep on our track. We're going to try and keep a podcast out every week to every 2 weeks. And it's going to be us talking for 10 minutes. We're almost there. About what we've done. And then 10 minutes about kind of just something fun, a game or a story that we've read to lighten the mood and maybe give a bit of what our thoughts are on that.
Yeah. Plus also to show where potential inspirations and things may be coming from. Because it's highly likely that we are going to unintentionally nick things from people. Because that's mostly
creativity. And that was our 10 minutes. All right, so Phil, you've been playing a game.
Nice segue, Lou.
That is like the sharpest turn I've ever heard for a podcast.
I thought we were going to be really tight.
We are being really tight about this.
Time is done. Carry on.
So, Nier Automata was on sale a few weeks ago, and I bought Nier Automata. Yes.
Can you give a brief synopsis of what Nier Automata is?
Yes, I can. Nier Automata is a video game created by, well, published by Square Enix. And it's a video game that very famously has, like, many endings. What happens is you play the game once, and then you play it again, but this time it's supposed to be entirely different. Is that enough? Are you...
No, that's good.
Yeah, that gets, like, the base idea. Are we talking, like...
steampunky vibes?
It's... takes place in a post-apocalyptic future where all of... Oh, it's a spoiler. Guys, if you don't like spoilers, stop listening now, okay? We're just going to be talking about the game.
Wait, I haven't played the game. Give me a pause. We are literally about 30 seconds into the game discussion chat, and we're already at spoiler territory?
Okay, what is this game about? Okay, so...
we can discuss aesthetic after then.
It's post-apocalyptic, and you play an android that has come down from the moon to reclaim the Earth for mankind.
Somehow this feels like, is it Iron Skies?
It's not Iron Skies, but in this one, the android are the good guys.
Oh, they're not Nazis. They're not Nazis.
And what your goal is to reclaim the Earth from the robots who've taken over because they've been sent by aliens to destroy the humans. I know, it makes no sense, but it's fine. Thematically, what the game wants to discuss is the idea of identity and what makes you human. So what it means to be your own person, to make your own decisions, and to be a human with your own thoughts. However, I don't think the game achieves this. How?
How does a game about with multiple endings, multiple ways of going, and multiple things not achieve own choice?
Well, I don't... So I've been around on online and stuff, and it feels like Nier Automata doesn't actually give you multiple endings. Each time you're only playing one character's side of the story, which in and of itself is very interesting, but you're not actually getting... like, your choices have no impact upon the world. So is the game telling you that you're not something that has real thoughts? Is it trying to like solidify this idea that you are an android and that you have no like real identity? But then why is it so heavily pushing you in this thematic direction that robots and androids can be human and have feelings? That's my first problem.
So it's a problem that the mechanics don't actually support the central idea of the game.
Exactly. The way the story is constructed from a mechanical standpoint doesn't support the theme of the game. Another point is the fights are not cathartic, which is so odd to say, because it's supposed to be about like finding peace between androids and robots a little bit. But then... as far as I know, there's no way to skip the boss fights. There's no way to make peace, so you have to fight. But then most of the boss fights, you don't win them. They're either really easy because the gameplay loop is like stupidly simple, and it feels like your ally is winning it for you, or you get to like a certain point at health, and your enemy runs away, or a cutscene plays and they blow up. It just doesn't feel like you've won.
But you are playing on an easier setting.
No, I'm playing on the normal default setting.
Oh, normal setting?
Yeah.
What settings are there? Do you know?
There's easy, like casual, normal, difficult, and extra difficult, I think.
Right. Okay. Sorry.
It's weird to hear this because I've been hearing a lot of good stuff about Nier Automata. About people talking about how the more endings you go through, there's greater development of story, greater layers, like more things to discuss. So out of interest, just to help me figure out, how many endings have you gotten to that you know of?
I've gotten to A, B, and I just started C. And then I also got like one Easter egg ending at the start of B.
But I mean, like, does it mean it's, I mean, a great story shouldn't have you get to like 80% through the story for it to finally feel good.
That's true. I wanted to...
I've committed 30 hours to this game. If I'm still being frustrated by this, like the characters, mm-hmm. I don't think it's really achieved what it's supposed to.
Which is fair. So my question then is, you've already mentioned that you are 30 hours in the game. You have started the third ending path.
Yeah.
My question then is, are you going to finish it? Or are you going to leave it?
I'm probably going to finish it because I've heard about the ending. And I want to know if it's really as good as they say it is. And if it, like, gives you that feeling of achieving something. But it's, so far, it's not. I have one final complaint about it, being that it's written like a really bad anime. Not a bad anime, like a decidedly average anime. In the sense that the relationship between A, 2B and 9S, the two main characters, is so dry and like non-evolving. You'd expect them to become friends over the course of the story. And they do, but not in a natural way. 2B is a very like play-by-the-rules kind of character who, when she says something, she like follows what she's been taught. And then 9S is kind of like a dude who does whatever he wants and is a bit more quizzical about the world. But they like have a few nice moments, but their banter is really boring, and it could have something to do with the translation. But they're not likable in that sense. And then the third character that you get, I'm sorry for ruining it for you if you didn't know from seeing the third character the first time, then is also very weird because they're not well characterized. I don't like the banter or the way they like communicate with each other, and it's gone really far into making me not want to like these people. Like, I don't care about them as characters.
That's never good. You should always care. You should always want to succeed with characters, and to have characters where you feel like that's not good. Like, that's always troubling.
Like, for example, BoJack. Even you don't care about him. Well, no, you don't like him.
Yeah.
But you care about him.
That's true.
And that's why people find him so compelling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good example.
But I also, I mean, just talking about translations, everyone always, as the science community would say, poo-poos dubs.
Yeah.
But often if you watch a dub of something with the subtitles, the subtitles are a direct translation, whereas the dub, they've often put, like, thought into what it actually means.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go out and say dubs are better than subs. And if you're playing based on a more sub scenario where they're direct translations, and then I can see where that like real dryness comes from.
Who knew podcast number one would be so controversial?
Yeah.
First Nier Automata, now dubs.
I know it's not related and we have very little time left, but there is an excellent video discussing subs versus dubs and here at My Hero Academia and like what it means for the subtext of the story. Because in the Japanese version, Deku, he speaks like a suicidal, depressed person, whereas in the American version, he speaks like a down in the dumps underdog.
Oh, but if you didn't understand Japanese, would you still pick up that he sounds like a...
It's all has to do with the English translation.
Oh, the English translation.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was like voice acting.
Yeah, no, it's not the voice acting. It's from Explanation Point. You can look him up.
We can maybe link to it. Who knows? Who knows what we're capable of? Like, are we even capable of making a game?
We'll find out.
Maybe.
Anyway, I think that's been all from us this week. So I have been Lou.
I've been Phil.
I've been Dominic.
And this is Pink Pineapple Games. Goodbye.
That's solid. Oops.
Oh my God.